ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। एतत्मराम गुरुभिर्हृति चिन्तितङ्घ्रि दण्डं चरन्तमुमया तपसाभितत्त्वम् कन्दन्त उग्रपरुषं निरतं स्मरसन्ने धेनूनमूर्तिमभितं स्तपहातलाजा।
Exalted self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world, think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. And when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is therefore said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigina Bhujai. Even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnav like Lord Shiva is doing or how he is acting. Those who are conquered by lusty desires and anger cannot estimate the glories of Lord Shiva, whose position is always transcendental. In all the activities associated with lusty desires, Lord Shiva is an implement of Atmaram. Ordinary persons, therefore, should not try to understand Lord Shiva and his activities. One who tries to criticize the activities of Lord Shiva is shameless. Exalted self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you are moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty, or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigena Bhujai. Even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnav like Lord Shiva is doing and how he is acting. In this material world, our conditioned tendency is to evaluate everything according to our sense perception. But when we enter into the stratum of the transcendental realm, when we are in the presence of Sri Krishna or his devotees, this is a most dangerous proposal. Therefore, one must be very careful to see through the eyes of the Shastra. Just as it is said, Arache Vishno Shiladir Gurushu Naramatira Vaishnavi Jati Budhi, that one who sees the Murti to be made of wood or stone, one who sees the Guru to be an ordinary man, or one who sees the Vaishnav according to the bodily conception of life, such a person has hellish mentality. It is said in the Upadeshamrita that sometimes the spiritual master, sometimes he may be diseased, Sometimes his body may be defective. Sometimes he may be misshapen, sickly. But it is said that if one in any way considers that this is a spiritual disqualification, then one is in a very unfortunate and offensive condition of consciousness. Rupa Goswami specifically explains, just like the Ganges, sometimes it is seen to have contaminated dead bodies floating in it. Sometimes it has human sewage floating in it. Sometimes there are foaming bubbles, which are an obvious sign of apparent contamination. But if one in any way thinks that the Ganges has become impure, he is in a very offensive state of consciousness. A person knows that because the Ganges is flowing from the feet of Vishnu, it cannot be contaminated. It is always transcendentally pure and most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. So in the same way, we must be very careful not to judge great souls through our material estimations. In fact, to understand the activities of a great Vaishnava take very, very deep contemplative realization. We find that many of the greatest acharyas throughout history have been very greatly misunderstood for their actions and their words. Oftentimes it is only their followers who can understand them, because it is only their followers who are willing to take the time to deepen their consciousness and understand why. Others who perceive things just according to the apparent form, they become bewildered. Just like through our entire disciplic succession, we find so many examples of this. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very much criticized and condemned, not only by the ordinary worldly men who thought he was utterly crazy because of his intense devotion to the spirit of renunciation in the service of the Lord, but even amongst the Vaishnavas and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, there were persons who threatened to take his life. In fact, there was one time a policeman who was previously a dacoit, and people would often hire him to kill people. So he came to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, "You know, there is a class of men. They are Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. They have paid me to kill you. But after seeing you and hearing you, I can understand you're such a saintly person that I cannot do it. Otherwise, I would have done it. But I must warn you that there are people like this." He was very much misunderstood, because he was apparently putting aside so many traditions for the sake of reaching out to the fallen souls. Therefore, he was considered by persons to be deviating, to be fallen, to be polluting the sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya. In fact, it was only his most faithful followers who really took the time and the energy to understand what he was doing and why before they could really understand. And then, when they understood, his glory was magnified by hundreds and millions of times. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the West, his followers loved him. The parents of his followers were very against him. In fact, Srila Prabhupada had said in Srimad Bhagavatam, in one of his most sacred purports, that just as Narada Muni took the Haryashvas away from Daksha, and Daksha cursed him, that he could never be able to sit down in one place, he would always have to travel. In the same way, because in the Western country, so many of these young boys and girls have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord, their parents are very angry with me, and they have also cursed me in the same way. Therefore, I have to constantly travel. And then he begged, but I am requesting my sannyasi disciples to accept this curse on my behalf so that I can sit and translate Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore the sannyasi disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they are aspiring to accept this curse and constantly travel and preach the glories of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, he came to America, and amongst his followers, he was their life and soul. But the family members of their followers, oh my God, how much they were annoyed, disturbed, how much they even hated him. So many times. If any of them took the time to get to know Srila Prabhupada, they loved him. But how many are willing to take the time to know? They are simply thinking, he is ruining our family. He is stealing our children. He is stealing our sons. He is stealing our daughters. And therefore, this whole deprogramming movement of people who kidnap young children and their parents pay tens and thousands of dollars to these people to forcibly kidnap their children and torture them and seclude them and use World War II techniques that they would use for prisoners of war to get a person to have basically a nervous breakdown and in that state shake their faith in Krishna and bring them back to their children, to their family. And this is a big, big business. Parents are willing to pay so many thousands, tens and thousands. And these deprogrammers are often supported by very, very big religious institutions. Who are willing even to pay hundreds and thousands of dollars in legal fees just to try to destroy the Hare Krishna movement. And really, you know, Prabhupada saw that it was all an attack against him. It wasn't simply against his movement. It was against what he had done. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last year during his pastimes on this earth, he was very sickly and he came to London from Bombay and he was planning on coming to New Vrindavan in America. But his disciples told him that these deprogrammers, they are so much going to the legal system and there are so many cases of brainwashing and so forth against your movement that it is very dangerous for you to go. And of course Srila Prabhupada was still willing to go, but because his health was so frail that he decided he would go back to Vrindavan to leave this world. So in America, his followers who understood him, who knew him, who really took the time to deeply comprehend his glory, they loved him, they appreciated him. But the rest of the American society simply misunderstood him. They saw him as a cheater, as a rogue. They saw, the Christians of America thought that he was simply someone who was coming to preach a false doctrine. If they would have taken the time to understand what he was teaching, they would have appreciated him like they appreciate Jesus Christ himself. But they did not want to take the time. They simply wanted to superficially see. He dresses different. He talks different. He teaches something different. The government was against. So many people against. And here in India, he was an ambassador of the Sanatan Dharma of India. And his own godbrothers, many of them misunderstood him. They criticized him. Why you are using the name Prabhupada? You should not use this name. Why you are engaging in marrying young men and women? This is not the business of a sannyasi. Why you are allowing this and that? In this way, so much criticism. And amongst other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he is only preaching to low-class hippies. What is the value of that? And amongst other Vaishnav Sampradayas and Brahmins, he is initiating untouchables with the sacred thread. He is allowing untouchables to perform the puja of the deity. He is ruining our culture. In this way, so much criticism. So much criticism. You cannot even imagine how much criticism. So really, it was only those persons who were very innocent, or those persons who really deeply tried to understand what he was doing and why. And those who tried to really understand what he was doing and why, even they could not understand the details. They could only understand the general principle, that he has saved my life, that's all I know. But how he's doing and what he's doing and why, they cannot understand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he was very much appreciating Shivananda Sen's attachment to delivering a dog. Shivananda Sen was so much attached to a dog. He was just a stray dog who just joined their party. And because he saw that he wanted to go to Jagannath Puri with them, he was feeding him every day, himself. And when that dog was not fed one day, the dog disappeared, and Shivananda Sen spent practically a whole day sending his devotees searching for the dog. And he felt very bad when they could not find. But when they arrived in Puri, he saw the dog was with Lord Chaitanya, and Shivananda Sen offered his obeisances in atonement for any offenses he may have committed to this dog. And Lord Chaitanya personally was feeding the dog and sent him back to Goloka Vrindavan. So who can understand these matters? But then again, in the Shastra it is said, a dog should not be touched, a dog should not be put in temple, a dog... Not necessarily in Shastra, but according to tradition. So, the deeper and deeper we try to understand a great Vaishnava, the deeper we can understand the principle of their compassion. But then again, the next day they will do something else. And it may take you several months to figure out why he's doing that. Huh? But while you're in the process of figuring that out, he does something else, and something else, and something else, and something else. So ultimately, you just have to just say, Krishna, I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant. Huh? Because we find that the more compassionate a devotee becomes, the more he's willing to do whatever is necessary to reach out to the fallen souls. And therefore, persons very much misunderstand. And this is very much the case with Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada. All of their apparent, what people accuse to be deviations, were their different ways and means of reaching out individually as well as collectively to the conditioned souls, to give them, to uplift them. So many times, people who were genuinely seeking shelter, grasping for shelter, becoming very attached to Prabhupada. Very special mercy. People very much misunderstand and criticize. What to speak of the people in general? How to reach them? How to get them to become attached to Krishna? This is the constant meditation of the great souls. So here we're reading about Lord Shiva, how much he was criticized. It is said here that people think he's ferocious and envious because he's wandering in the crematorium grounds. According to the Shastra, this is worship in the mode of ignorance. What pure Vaishnava is in the mode of ignorance? You expect him to be at the temple worshipping the deities. Instead, he's not at the temple. He's not worshipping the deities. He's at the crematorium grounds, covering his body with the ashes of burnt bodies. According to the Shastra, this is the process for those in the mode of tamagun. So what's Lord Shiva doing like this? Even Daksha, who was his own father-in-law, how much he criticized and condemned Lord Shiva. Worshipping snakes is also considered a worship in the mode of ignorance. So Lord Shiva has snakes in his body, covered with crematorium ashes, plus sometimes he's seen smoking ganja, which is against the four regulative principles. If you smoke ganja, if you're sitting in the temple smoking ganja, and someone says, what are you doing? Don't criticize. Lord Shiva did it. You do not know who I am. People will think you're totally crazy. Not only that, you'll have to leave the temple and live at Babunath temple. What to do? You cannot do it. But Lord Shiva is doing it. And yet the greatest Vaishnavas are worshipping him. It's an activity thoroughly in the mode of ignorance. Smoking ganja, hashish. And it is said you can tell who a person is by who he is associating with. Lord Shiva is often associating with bhutas, ghosts. People who are addicted to the most abominable activities. So from all material reasoning, it appears that what kind of Vaishnava is this? And therefore, many, many great souls have criticized him and condemned him. And every one of them had to pay the consequence. Because Lord Shiva's only business engaging in these activities is to show compassion to those persons. Patita Pavam. Lord Shiva is Patita Pavam. He's the uplifter of the most fallen. He's going down to the places of those in the mode of ignorance. And he's even behaving like them, just to gain their faith. It is not that he likes ganja. It is not that he's attached to the ashes of dead bodies. He's indifferent to all these things. But to show compassion to this class of men, he's willing to even go to that extent. So all of his apparent deviations from the traditions of the ways of a Vaishnav are simply out of love, simply out of compassion. To get these people to become attached to him. That's really all he's trying to do. Get these people in the modes of ignorance to become attached to me. And when they become attached to me, gradually they will also become purified by following what I say, by following my footsteps. Similarly, it is here said that persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma. They misunderstand you to be lusty. After all, Lord Shiva is the Lord and Master of the yogis and great renunciates. And how he is moving with Uma, with Parvati, so intimately. Sometimes, as described in Bhagavatam, he is giving pravachan and Uma is sitting on his lap. Can you imagine? Even if a person's a grihastha, that's one thing. But a
sannyasi, you would not expect this. But even a grihastha, you would not expect this. If you went to a lecture of some very great reciter of Bhagavatam, and you went into the lecture hall, and he was sitting there on his vyasasan, and his wife is affectionately sitting on his lap with her arms around him, embracing him, what would you think? Would you think, well, he's a grihastha, so this is all right? Huh? You would think, what nonsense is this? To Chiketu, he was laughing about this. He came to the Himalayas and he saw, here are all these great saints, sages, yogis, sannyasis, sadhus, who have renounced everything in this world. Lord Shiva's giving them a class on Vairagya. And meanwhile, Parvati was not just sitting on his lap, but she was affectionately sitting on his laps. Their arms were around each other. Chichiketu was thinking, this is too much for me, Haribo. He began to laugh. And because he began to laugh, Parvati cursed him to become a demon. He became Vritrasura in his next life. Even though he didn't even mean any ill intent, still, just out of jokingly he did like this. What to speak? Ill intent. So how to understand that here is such a great personality? Very difficult to understand. We simply have to understand through the eyes of the Shastra that what is he doing? Why is he doing? If you try to imitate Lord Shiva, but you do not have the empowerment, the divinity of Lord Shiva, then your spiritual life will be destroyed. Therefore, it is said, do not try to imitate the great souls, but just try to follow in their footsteps. The footsteps of Lord Shiva, they are in the direction of reaching out to the fallen souls by giving them the mercy of the Lord. Now, that we must do. But exactly how to do it, we need the instructions of the spiritual master to guide us. If we simply try to imitate Lord Shiva, you will be spiritually ruined. Because you cannot. And on the other extreme, there's Raghunath Das Goswami, who was so strict in following all the principles of Vaishnavism. He would not deviate even one inch. He would chant so many lakhs of rounds a day. He would offer his obeisances to Vaishnava so many times a day, offer obeisances to the Murti so many times a day. He would worship the deity so carefully. It is said that his regulative principles were like the lines in stone. They cannot be erased by any means. No human being can follow the principles to the extent of Raghunath Das Goswami. If you would try, you would die. He would practically not eat or sleep. But you can follow in his footsteps. Follow in the footsteps of his principles of being very strict in your sadhana. And according to the instructions and the guidelines of Guru, Sadhu, we can learn how to follow in his footsteps according to our particular realization. But if you try to imitate, you die. If you try to imitate Lord Shiva, you will spiritually die. We must follow in the footsteps of such great souls. And when such devotees of the Lord behave in such a way that is incomprehensible to our mind and senses, we must be very, very careful not to criticize, not to judge by our own mundane conditioned estimations, or even by our own neophyte conceptions of what it means to be a great devotee. Sometimes devotees become a little perplexed that first you say an acharya teaches by example and he's a perfect example, and then again we see that sometimes the acharya, he is acting in such a ways that you cannot understand. Huh? So what to do? How do we know who actually is an acharya? Ultimately, Krishna in your heart, if you are sincere, will give you faith. We must understand the basic principle of the mission of the compassion of a great acharya. We must see that in his life and his actions, he is truly unmotivated, uninterrupted in his reaching out to lift the fallen souls to the process of Krishna consciousness. That he's always talking about Krishna, always thinking of Krishna, always inspiring others to be Krishna conscious. That there is no selfish motivations in his life. If we see these principles, we can understand that he's only speaking what God has spoken. We can see this man is qualified acharya. But then how he engages in his activities day to day, sometimes very difficult to understand. Therefore, it is said here, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigena Bhujai, that even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnav like Lord Shiva is doing and how he is acting. Is there any questions? Yes. You should pray to Shiva in the form of the spiritual master. Lord Shiva is the... You see, Lord Shiva, ultimately, it's Vishnu that they approached. And Vishnu directed them to Shiva. Why? Why did he direct them to Shiva? Because they are demigods. They are devas. And he is Mahadeva. He is the Lord of all the demigods. Actually, Lord Shiva is in charge of all the demigods. Therefore, Krishna brought them to their guru. Similarly, we are all disciples, we are all devotees. And Krishna has directed us to our spiritual master. So in the same way, he is serving that same function as Lord Shiva is serving for the demigods. He is accepting our karma, which is like drinking our poison. Huh? So therefore, yes, we should approach the Vaishnav who Krishna has directed us to. In this way, we should pray for the mercy of Guru. Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru. We should pray for the mercy of those great saints who Krishna has brought us the lotus feet of. And pray for the shelter that, please help me. I cannot withstand this poison that is coming out. Please help me. So immediately we must take shelter in this way. And through their mercy, through their instructions, we can also take shelter of Lord Sri Krishna and Lord Shiva as well. But it should be through the gurus and the sadhus. Do you understand? Yes. That is all we have to know. Whatever Lord Chaitanya said, even if I see Lord Nityananda going into the bar, into the liquor house, even into the brothel, the prostitution house, I know that he's only going there to preach. Huh? Do you know how much Lord Nityananda was misunderstood and criticized and condemned? He was doing all kinds of unusual things. We will not get into the details, but sometimes he would actually go into these places to preach. People would say, "Ah, what kind of a sadhu is this? He's going into these places." But Lord Chaitanya said, if anyone even questions Lord Nityananda, he's going to go to hell. Huh? I know he's going to preach. I know he has a mission of compassion. So therefore, we should not judge the great souls. But we have to understand the spirit of their devotion, the spirit of their mission. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.